back at Texas Southern University here in Houston, Texas. Joined now by Charlie Bonner. He is with Move Texas. Charlie, thanks for taking time to talk with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So to start off, talk about what Move Texas is and what the goal is.
Yeah, so we're a nonpartisan, a nonprofit that works to engage young people across Texas, 18 to 30, and empower them through civic engagement. A large part of that is voter registration. We expanded statewide about last year, and in 2018 registered 30,000 young people to vote. We're on track to do that again this year. So that's a 60,000 new young voters going into 2020 with a whole lot of time before the election to register some more.
Now, everyone keeps talking about Texas moving to be more of a purple state. Has the youth vote been what has driven that?
Absolutely. To me, you can't talk about Texas being a battleground state without talking about young voters. So from 2014 to 2018, we saw youth voter turnout triple in Texas. And when that happened, we flipped 12 seats in the Texas House, we flipped 2 seats in the Texas Senate, and put Beto O'Rourke within striking distance of Ted Cruz. So things started to change, and the conversation in Texas started to change when young people started showing up to vote. So I think it's absolutely critical, as we're talking about the debate being in Texas, that really is a sign that Texas is a battleground state. Democrats are investing in Texas for the first time in a long time. I think we have to be talking about young voters with that.
Charlie, Dave McEwen, Sonoma State and KSRO. So let's talk a little bit about kind of this change in the electorate that we've seen. We talk about often about what's called the rising American electorate, the RAE. And when we look at the RAE, we see this set of voters that are more ethnically diverse, you're younger, generally more urban. How is that happening on the ground in Texas? And then let's break that out into that demographic of 18 to 30, because that swath of voters is also very different across many issues as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So right now, 40% of Texans are under the age of 30, and 63% of those are people of color. So the rising electorate in Texas is happening right now. So 1 in 3 Texas voters is Latinx, and by 2030, half of all voters in Texas are going to be Latinx. So things are completely changing here right now, and it is this young generation that's pushing that.
So if we look at that also in terms of how it's changing, isn't really 2020 then the pivot election, and 2024 is the election where Texas comes of age? I think this is one of the reasons that Democrats have paid such close attention to Texas, but really kind of moving forward after 2020 into the 22 to 24 period.
To me, I think 2018 was that change election for us. And so now we're seeing 2020 as when we're actually in play. You know, people were not investing early in 2018. I think people started seeing Beto O'Rourke in kind of those last moments and started making those investments then when it's too late. You know, when we're talking about things like voter registration, youth voter registration, what we do, that is a process that's starting right now for next year. You know, we're a year and a half out starting to register these voters for that 2020 election. And so as we're talking about investments, those have to come even earlier than that. So I think we're seeing that change happening right now, and this is going to be a critical election for that.
And so as we look at that, also across the state of Texas, we know that there are dramatic differences. Maybe could you talk a little bit about how Texas is changing kind of across the state? There are big differences between East and West Texas, for example, different parts of Texas as we move down to the coast and so forth. Maybe give our listeners a little bit of an idea about that.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting because we have 4 or 5 of the largest cities in the country here in Texas, and they bear absolutely no resemblance to one another. We're in Houston right now, like sweating like dogs, but like this is not what it's like to be in Austin 3 hours away, or anything like being in Dallas. Like they have completely different cultures even about how they identify as Texans and who make them up. But it is these major cities that are all run by progressives, implementing some of the most progressive reforms we see in the country happening in red states, but it's because they have the backing of such young people and young progressive folks and folks of color in these cities who make up the majority of these metropolises. And as you kind of scale out of those cities, we get into the suburbs around them, which is really where we saw a lot of the change in 2018. So a lot of that is people getting priced out of big cities, mm-hmm. moving into suburbs. Later millennials who are kind of moving and starting families, and that is where we started seeing districts flip. You know, heavily gerrymandered districts for a generation 10 years ago where now the demographic in these suburbs is completely different, and that's where we're seeing all these flips happening. And so I think 2020, what we're looking at is those outer suburbs, you know, the even further, how are we expanding the electorate beyond these urban cores?
What we call that, the exurbs, the emerging suburb areas.
Yes, they're called the emerging suburbs.
Now, there's been so many retirements with the the GOP lately, especially in Texas.
Texas, please use the correct term. It is the Texas.
The Texas is upon us. How much change do you think that will bring about in the coming cycle or future cycles with this changing dynamic in Congress?
Yeah. Well, the thing that I'm really excited about is that we were already making the investments. You know, we have candidates running in all of these places before the retirements are happening. Because what we don't want is to scramble in the last minute, you know, try to field candidates when people are retiring. We have great candidates who are running this time that made the elections close last time, that pushed a lot of these folks to retirement, who are running again. So it has definitely re-energized folks, re-energized those candidates who did really well in 2018, but are really going to be looking to be successful this year, and I think they're going to be.
Okay, so let's go inside the kitchen cabinet of Move Texas organization.
Yeah.
One criticism could be that Texas is redder, deeper red than we think. We see this in states like Nevada, which is probably bluer than we think. It's not as red as we might think. How would you blunt criticism or deal with the issue that some have brought up, that Texas is actually deeper red than we might see? It's just scattered all over, and the silos of the Democrats that you're talking about, these silos of young people, are concentrated in these very different but few cities.
Yeah. Well, I would say Texas is not a red state. It's never been a red state. It's a non-voting state. And so when we wake up this electorate, things are going to change. And that's what we saw in 2018, is when all these young folks, these people of color, started showing up to vote, getting registered, that things really started to flip. But the problem is that these are the groups that are the least likely to get registered and the least likely to turn out. Because traditional institutions like the Democratic Party have not invested so heavily in young people in communities of color. And so that is a recent change that we're seeing to make those investments that have been made by nonprofits on the ground for many years. There's a large coalition of youth engagement nonprofits that have been in Texas for years trying to make these engagements. And so now that we're seeing these flips happen, we are seeing Texas become the state that it actually is. And that's being reflected in the Texas legislature and hopefully in our new Congress.
Yeah, so one thing that you're talking about here is connecting not just registration, but with registration to turnout.
Yeah.
Because that always has been kind of the Achilles heel, is groups have registered but not necessarily led to GOTV efforts, get out the vote efforts, or to turnout. And by linking that, you should see a change, especially if it goes to the idea of non-voting voting state.
And what we do register and then we do turnout. And for us, it's all about connecting young people with the issues that matter to them and helping show how elected officials can make a difference on those issues. And we work hyper-locally to do that. You know, there's a lot that a city council can do to address climate change in a city like San Antonio, where they're trying to pass their own version of a Green New Deal locally. And we can show young people how showing up to vote in a local election that's decided by a handful of votes has a dramatic impact on issues like climate change that they care about.
Now, closing out with the debate tonight, you're going to be there in the audience. Is there a candidate you're interested in hearing from, or an issue that you're particularly interested in hearing from all the candidates about?
I'm definitely interested in seeing who is recognizing that young people made Texas a battleground state and speaking to the issues of our generation. So I think that is climate change and kind of bold solutions on climate change. That's crushing student debt. It's campus sexual assault. All these sorts of things that are affecting our lives every day. And then, of course, gun violence. A poll just came out in Texas this week from the Texas Lyceum that across the board in Texas, immigration is the number one issue. For 18 to 30-year-olds, it's gun violence prevention. It's the first time they've ever seen that shift happen. And it's because our lives are being, we are the gun violence generation, and our lives are being radically altered by the prevalence of gun violence and the inability of our elected officials to do anything about it.
Excellent. Charlie Bonner, Move Texas. Thank you so much for sitting down.
Thank y'all for having me.